Okay, I'm going to share with you one of my favorite prayers. You know, I pray a lot for myself, and this is one of my favorite prayers. And don't worry, it's in the Bible. That's why I'm opening my Bible. And this is the prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And this is it in verse 18. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What is the hope of His calling, and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saint? But this morning, I will just stay on the first part of it. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. I was so glad that, you know, listening to the worship this morning. I came in this morning and I was thinking, oh man, God, I really hear from you to speak on this. And you know, the first song, I said, wow, that's amazing. And just the last song we finished off, that was just like the whole thing about hope. And you know, when you think of a church service, you just think of the part that you're going to play. Eh? Like if you're preaching, you just think of your message. But God thinks of the whole service. You know, right from the beginning when we worship, everything is fitted together. So I'll share with you my prayer. On that. It's something that I pray for almost every day. When I wake up, I don't know anything else to tell God. I pray this prayer. You know, in the book of Ephesians, there's some incredible prayers in it. And one is in chapter 1, and you go to chapter 3. Some incredible prayers that is in it. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Just pray. It is already written in the Bible. And so I read it one more time since it's my favorite prayer, that the eyes of my understanding be enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of His calling. Imagine Paul is in prison. He's having this incredible revelation about this theology he saw. You know, I think he wrote the book of Ephesians. I think he wrote the book of Colossians. Yeah. From the same time in prison, because if you read the book, they're almost the same. And what an incredible revelation he is going through. And he's having this, I think, you know, this is just my version. You know, he's having a week of this incredible revelation. He's going through it himself. He's going through this incredible revelation of the inheritance that we have in Christ. What does it mean when we have this hope in His plan of salvation? No, he's having this incredible revelation. He's in prison. And he got the report about the church in Ephesians, the Ephesians church. And then, okay, I'm going to write this letter, okay? this is my translation myself, okay? I'm going to write this letter to them. Because after he talked about all of this stuff that we have just read, up to verse 17, he said, because of all of this, or in other words, therefore, because of this incredible revelation of the hope that you have in Christ, God's plan of salvation for you, this incredible inheritance that you have in Christ, okay? Because of all of this, we're not going to go through that. And because of His great hope, because of His great inheritance, and because of His great power that is towards us as you become a believer. Now, therefore, when I pray for you, this is what I pray for. I pray for you that you will get this. And he's writing to the Christians you know, they were Gentiles. If you read the letter, Paul is telling them, he said, hey guys, you know, this is it. You got it. This is it. God's plan A for your life. You got it. Better not go back to the other lifestyles. You better not catch up with the old philosophies where you live your life. Don't go back to that lifestyle of that sexual stuff that you get, other cultures, other stuff that you did, that you were in before you come to Christ. Now you got it. You got the plan A. This is it. There's nothing else. Don't go back. So when I'm praying for you, I'm praying that you will really get this. I'm praying that the eyes of your heart or the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. Turn on the light, God, in their brain. Let them see this is it.
There is no other plan. This is it. They got it. What an incredible hope that they are living in. Stay there. Don't go any further. Don't go back. Okay, he's praying that prayer. And in one of the good things when you read the book of Ephesians, you know, for me, it helps me to read the books of the creations of the world, like Genesis. Because it takes us back. Paul takes them right back. Okay, before the creation of the world. Guys, this is before the foundation of the world. The Trinity already planned for your salvation. He goes way right back there. Because when you read, sometimes you read Genesis, it's just like so technical. Yeah, God was good. And he created this and God was good. Then he created Adam and Eve and things goes on. But if you read books like Ephesians, you know, it gives you an idea of what was in God's heart when he created us. What was his motion? What is his... I when I pray, I said, God, I want to feel your emotion about me. You know, when I'm reading Ephesians chapter 3, when I'm praying, I said, God, I want to feel your emotion. I want to feel. I know your love, but, you know, come down. I really want to feel your emotion about it. So in reading Ephesians, it gives us some ideas of what was in God's mood when he created us. Okay? And so I'll paraphrase it just something like this. I'll just... in a short version of Tombale's version. One day, you know, I don't know, maybe a trillion years after they've existed, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I don't know. But they have decided one day, they said, wow, you know, let's create some people like us. You know, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we will share our love. You know, human beings, we'll create them. It's incredible. The Bible says it's incredible. You know, he came out with this it was the pleasure of his will to create us. He came out of his joy. He came out of, my goodness, let's create something. Let's create a human being like us. You know? It came from the mind of God. He said, this is the plan. You know, we're going to create a man and woman like us. And Holy Spirit, I guess Holy Spirit said, well, you know, Satan has just fallen, you know. He was a free moral being. What about if they fall? Jesus said, okay, I'll take that. I'll fix that up. I will go and die on the cross if they fall, because we don't want to create robots. We want to create human beings, you know, to be like us. So I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to die, and I'm going to give them my life. This incredible inheritance that we have in Christ. I'm going to give them my life. They're going to live my life. They're going to get resurrected and they will be with us. Kapai, they said kapai. They thought of it. What a great plan. And God said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to create a planet for them. We're going to create an earth just for them. Because we take care of heaven. We live in heaven. The earth belongs to them. Okay? That's the plan. So we're going to create a planet. Genesis chapter 1. God created everything, everything, everything was good. Right at the end, then he created us. Okay? I was thinking, wow, what a way to read the Bible. What a way to read Genesis. That he created all of this amazing stuff for us, for this human being that they were planning to create. Let's create man in our image and in our likeness. So this whole world was created for us. Because God does not need it. Eh? He has a better one. He has a better one there. He said, okay, we will stay up here. You guys stay up there. I created all this stuff. Can you just imagine that? Guys, you are not a mistake. You are not a mistake. You came from a mind of God. God thought you up all the way back before the foundation of the world. I mean, I don't know how many trillions of years was that. But God had you in his mind. Okay, and that was their plan. If they stuff it up, it's going to be through Christ Jesus. We're going to give them their life, this incredible inheritance. I have no time to go to the inheritance because I'm just going to stay in the hope of our calling. Okay, let me ask you this question. How many of you plan to come to this world? That's a dumb question, okay? Because none of us plan that we're going to come into this world. Did you have a choice? No. No. You have no choice. It was like God had planned that he was going to bring you into this world. You have no plan about it at all. You have no choice. I mean, you can choose now whether you still want to live on. You can just take out your life, you know. But you're coming into this earth, you have no plan about it. You have no plan. So don't blame God for that. You had no plan. You know, one day you find yourself, you know, like water balloon. 9 months you were spinning around, bang, watertight balloon, bang, bang, bang. You're spinning up and down, and you were just there by yourself. You know, your feet into this big hose pipe connected to the outside world that brings in food for you, and you're just spinning, bang, bang, up and down. 9 months later, we had enough. You pop into this world, boom, and you show up. And you look at all these people, you know, staring at you, and you cry. And, you know, everybody was so lovely, you know, they fix you up, they clean you up, they take you home. Okay, they named you. You have a choice of your name? No, you can change it now, but at the beginning. Do you have a choice of your gender? No. Did you have a choice of which country you were born? No. Which hospital you were born? No. What about those two crazy people that looks after you, your parents? No, you have no choice over it. Okay, God had planned all of this. Okay, when you come into his kingdom, okay, it's the same thing. You didn't plan. Anybody plan that one day you're going to come into God's kingdom? No. 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 You didn't plan to come to God's kingdom. This is all part of God's plan. Right from the beginning. This plan that they have with the Trinity. You were one day, he had no plan that you're going to come into God's kingdom. Then one day somebody come and speak to you. Then you said, no, I'm not going to stuff up. Get out of here. Then God speaks to you in a dream. He said, nah, I'm not going to listen to that. Then you look at the creation. Nah, I'm not going to listen to that. You know, you're just like resisting everywhere. You know, it looks like the whole world is, the sound system of the whole world is set up for our salvation. Okay? You go to school, somebody talk to you about Christian. He said, stuff it, get out of here. You go to your house, your parents talk to you about it. Okay, I had enough. You know, then one day you go into the Facebook, somebody put up a message. Oh, forget about that. You go into the Instagram, somebody put up a message. It's like everywhere, the whole world, the whole creation is calling out to you. And so after you resist, you don't want to go to church like me. I just don't want to go to church. I had enough. I said, stop the church. I'm not going to church. Then one day, you know, God is a funny way. I got, you know how he came into the kingdom? I just got somebody came and invite me. A girl just show up and invite me. Because I was so fearful, I didn't want to say no. So I went along. I went along. It's like, God, he was just like so sneaky here. I went along. Somebody shared the gospel. It was just so simple. I was just sitting there. I was talking. And at the end of the service, I don't know, somehow I put up my hand. I said, I want to give my life to Jesus. Okay? But I didn't plan that on that day. It was not like I wake up that morning. I said, wow, what a perfect day. Tonight at 7 o'clock, I'm going to surrender my life to God. No, absolutely. But when I look back, I see all these years on how God was really after me. God was after me through his creation, through the Bible, through all of this, through the church. God was really after me, and I just said, no. Okay? So I didn't plan that. You didn't plan to come to this world. You didn't plan the day that you're going to give your life to the Lord. Do you want to go back now? Yeah, of course. You know, you want to reject God now. You can have a choice now. But you don't have a choice in the first day that you give your life to the Lord. All of a sudden, you are so overwhelmed by God's love, God's goodness, and you cry out to him. And so Paul, when he's praying for the Ephesian church, he's saying, guys, you were Gentiles. You were included into this thing called God's plan of salvation. That's it. You know, you got it. Please don't go back. Don't. The hope of your salvation, the hope of your calling. You know, when you look at the word hope, the word hope means a confidence expectation of something good. Okay? And the word your calling, the word calling, it means It's interesting because I was doing a study word for this. And they clearly highlight Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 in the meaning of the word calling. The word calling is meant to summon. It's an invitation to a feast. I like that. I really, the invitation to a feast. It's the divine invitation to embrace salvation in the kingdom of God. Okay? That's the word calling. The hope of your calling. It's in a divine invitation to embrace salvation in the kingdom of God. And, I was thinking of the word, that's a calling. Hope. It's a joyful expectation. It's a joyful expectation. It's a joyful confidence. It's a confidence expectation in something good that you already have. It's our hope that we already have in Christ. It's our hope is anchored in God's plan of salvation for us. Okay, and I'll just go up and down, run and run. I'll get confused you. Hopefully at the end, you know, it will make sense and God will show up. Okay, the word calling, you know, because sometimes when you think of this, you read about your calling, you know, about my calling in God, the hope in my calling. And sometimes I have no hope in my calling. I'm thinking like, oh my goodness. If you just think of your calling in terms of your vocation, what you're going to do with your life in terms of God. You know, sometimes I even struggle with mine. So looks like there's not much hope there in what I'm doing, you know. It's the lies of the enemy. But the word calling, when you think of Jesus, you know, the way Jesus messed up our theology, he came to start a church. He came to start a movement. He just walked around on the beach on that day and he said, hey, fellas, you, no, it's you. You mean Simon? Yes, Simon, I'm calling you. Come follow me. Then he went around, not long further from there, he saw another group of, hey, you follow, you mean this guy? No, you too, James. Is it you, James? Yeah, come, follow me. You know, he called them. He didn't start a church, but said, okay, guys, you guys going to get saved first. Then you're going to go through all of this process. Then at the end, I'm going to call you. You just go around and call them. I mean, he knew the Father was working because he will never do that unless the Father tells him. He just go and call, hey, follow me. You know, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they ever struggle with Jesus because they think, who is this carpenter's son that talks like God? You know, he just said he can forgive sin. He just go and call up people. Hey, follow me. And they follow. They left their net, they follow him. They have never experienced him before. They experienced for the first time, they follow him. So it was that God calling them, calling him to himself. As a result of God calling them to himself, they changed. The world changed. And that's why you're sitting here today. Because it's the result of God just calling people. So I said, wow, thank you, Lord. I follow you and I get changed. Okay, because of you calling me, you calling the disciples to yourself. Okay, so the hope of our calling, the hope of God's plan of our salvation. And so, you came to this world because God had only one plan. He had only one plan. You came from him. You didn't choose that. He chose it himself. You are sovereign choice of God. You are it. That's it. You are what came on the mind of God on that day. In eternity past. He does it with his what? With his great delight. Full of enthusiasm, full of joy that he's going to bring you forth into this world. And he's going to plan out of your salvation for you, which, you know, you will have a choice about your salvation. And he said, and this is going to be the plan of our salvation. It's going to be only one. It is in Jesus Christ. And the incredible, incredible inheritance we have in Jesus Christ. It's just amazing. That's why I don't want to talk about it, because it just need a 10 sermon on that. I'm just going to stay on the hope that you guys, we got it. Paul said, stay there. I just pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened. God, please strike them with the thunder in the eyes of their heart, in the eyes of their understanding, because they have got it. This was the longing in my heart, the plans of my heart, that I will create a people to myself. And they have got it. I pray that they will never get back, that they will never move to the left, move to the right, go back to their old lifestyle. Because this is it. I don't have any other plan of salvation. This incredible hope that has been given to us. In God's plan of salvation, we are it. It's the message. It's finished. We are it. You are it. You have got yourself locked into it now. Don't move away from it. Don't say, no. Don't say, I hate my life. No. God said, you got it. You are here because I plan for you to come, and one day, because I'm pursuing you, you got into my salvation. You got into my plan of salvation. It's like God, on the day that he created us, the day that was on his mind, that he was going to create you and me, that he was going to bring you into this world, that thought echoes for eternity. It vibrates all over the creations of this world, his plan of salvation. It vibrates everywhere you go. It's like God stands in the corridor of eternity past. And he said, I'm going to create a people for myself. And this is the plan for them. They're going to come to me through my son, Lord Jesus Christ. And it echoes for eternity. And you know what we're doing? We're just responding to that. You're just responding to that. You know the first song that we sing that morning? You couldn't sing that song unless God sings it to you. You're just responding. You're just responding to that song, the first song that we sang this morning. It's God singing that song over us. He's after us. I'm after you. I'm after your heart. I am crazy, guys. I am really absolutely crazy. I was crazy enough to let my son die because I'm really after you. I'm after your heart, day and night. So we just respond. We respond to this incredible plan that God has for us. Echoes it to eternity. It echoes for us. The creation says that to us. The way you are created, it's all engineered so that you will hear his voice. So you'll hear the longing of the Father, the one who is after you. Now, it is not really about God's calling upon our life. It's really first calling. He's calling us to himself. Okay? The vocation part of it, it should come normally. It should just come naturally. But God is calling us first to himself. He's calling us first to himself. Forget about the work. Forget about what I should do. He's calling us to himself. To himself. Like intimacy with him. You know, if you have a problem with that, just look at the way Jesus called his disciples. You know, he just say, hey, fella, come, follow me. We go to the next village, Kaitaya. I said, whoop, yep, follow me. He goes to another Marae, yep, follow me. He goes to Fiji, you, come, follow me. You know, he's just like. Then, in the book of Revelation at the end, you know, the same fellow is still standing at the door. He said, hello? Hello? This was the plan. I planned for you to myself. That was the only plan I have. That you and me, face to face, you and me, we talk. You and me, we relate. You and me, we live our life together. More than that, I gave my life so that you can live my life. Okay? He's standing. The door and he's knocking. Why would you think he'll be standing at the door and knock at the end of the Bible, at the end of Revelation? I don't know. Most probably we are busy with everything else, you know, that that finally we lock God out. He's out in our mind. We're thinking, oh, stuff it. No, sir, we didn't say stuff it. We're just so busy with a lot of good stuff. You see, the worst thing that that destroys us, it's not really the bad stuff that we do in Christians. It is the good stuff that we do that stuffs us up. It's the good stuff that we are busy in. That's why God is standing knocking. Hello? You are so busy with incredible ministry, your vocation, your calling, that I'm not in myself. You know, you're just like, you know, some of us, we're just doing God half-time. You know, you're doing God half-time. Some of us, like 15 minutes, we do God. We wake up in the morning like, oh, what is the first thing I do? Facebook. Whoa, lunchtime. How many hours was that? And we do that the next day, then the next day, then the next day. Some of us, you know, the first thing we do when we wake up in the morning is like, we totally forgot that God created us. He called us to himself first. We're just like, we are so lost in everything else. And okay, by the end of the evening, we come home, we're so tired, we lie down, we say, God, thank you, good night. Next morning, we do the same thing. We wake up the next morning, the same thing. You know, we think of all the list in our mind is clouded. We just have no time to be connected to this God who created first for himself. That is the hope of our salvation, was God, right? Way, 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 way back right there. He planned to create a people for himself. And all the plans about Jesus, about our inheritance. But first of all, it is the call of us to himself. That is our hope. You didn't want to come to this world. You didn't plan that one day you're going to give your life. You're just responding to this big thing that happened in eternity past before the foundation of the world. Yeah. What amazing, you know. I'm thinking, God, you know, why do you have to create a planet for me? Just a planet that I still couldn't figure it out. It is so amazing. It's so beautiful. It's just so incredible. You created that for me? And sometimes I think, God, why didn't you finish the world a long time ago? Why? You have so messed it up. You created that for me. I didn't plan to come to this world. You know, my father and mother, they didn't get me together when I got married. You know, they were just like, I don't know whether it's a one time, one night stand or whatever. They got me. You know, I came into this world, they were not married, they still never married. And when I look back now, when I got this revelation about how God plans for me to come to this world and he planned for my salvation, I am grateful to the Lord. I am incredibly grateful because I know it does not matter what form he came in, what form I came in, what family I came in. God has a plan to bring me into this world. I am not an accident. You are not an accident. You are well planned. You are well thought of by God. Absolutely well thought of. It was the greatest. It was full of his pleasure and his grace. You read Ephesians chapter 1. Up to verse 18, you'll see some rich word that is expressed there about God's mercy. Like the richness of his glorious grace. My goodness, Paul. You that incredible revelation that, you know, that God's will, you know, it was full of his pleasure and delight. Yeah. You know, to bring us. Wow! And he put us in Christ. What else could you ask for? What else? Right from the beginning, he said, you know, we in Christ, we got all our spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. We got it in Christ because of this hope. Because of this thing, hope, that called salvation, we get everything that we need. It's in Christ. We got it. You had more advantage than those people who are not a Christian. Guys, stop the mourning. Stop the whining. Stop the complaining. Stop it, man. He has got so much more than those people who are out there that they don't know God. You are so advanced of all of them. You have the grace of God. This is all part of the inheritance. You're a son of God. You are heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. What else can you ask for? Do you know you have more you have with you than what you don't have with you right now? Yes, it might be a finance struggle. Yeah, that's temporary. You get eternal salvation. Man, you're going to live and rule with God forever and ever and ever. What else can you ask for? Okay? Be grateful for what we have, because we have the plan A of God that has came into our life, and you are it. Sometimes, you know, I remember lying down one morning, I got this revelation. I woke up, side of the bed, and this thought just came into my mind. He said, you got more than what you are asking for. You already got more than what you are asking for. And immediately, my mind goes to the book of Ephesians, and I think of this incredible inheritance that I got. This plan of God's salvation that has been given to me. What else can I ask for? You know, God just used that lack to make you more like him. It's part of his plan. It's part of his salvation. You know, just make you more like him. It's all temporary. But what we have got, the real stuff, oh my goodness. You cannot put any momentary value to that. Because that's eternal. Okay. So, God, okay. Okay, God. How do you want to land this thing? Just the way you have planned it. Just go past everything in like my going, woom, 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 woom. I just want you to zoom it in. And it is this. It is God creating a people for himself. Yes. First. He's calling us to himself first. Some of us, we are doing it part-time. Some of us are doing it like quarter an hour, half an hour. Some of us have no thought about it at all. Hey, there is this God. It was his plan that you come to this world. It was his plan. You've come to this world. He created you for himself. He packaged it so well, so well, so well. More than you ask for. You know, one day you are just a sinful creature. One day, you know, you're going to die and go to hell forever. Then God came in, saved you. You now you have eternal life. And where do we put God in our life? How do we carry ourselves in terms of this relationship that we have with God? Do we do him half time? Do we do him half a day, quarter day? Or we do him the whole deal. This is the whole deal. This is what I live for every day for the rest of my life. I live in the face of God. Because he has torn the veil. I'm coming back to his plan. I'm coming back 100%. All sold out for him. I live my day. My every moment of my life is lived for him. I'm not doing God half-time. I'm not doing part-time. You know, I'm absolutely 100%. All my life is all for God. I have captured this in my heart, that this is what I was created for. I was created for him.